Welcome to the CenturyLink Labs podcast with your host, Lucas Carlson. From Docker and Linux containers to programming languages and web frameworks, we interview technology and thought leaders around the world every week. This week's interview is brought to you by CenturyLink Cloud, the world's fastest self-service enterprise-grade cloud.
Hello, this is Lucas Carlson from the CenturyLink Labs podcast, and this week is a special week. We're doing something a little bit different because we just launched Panamax, and Panamax has been a project we've been working on for a very long time at CenturyLink. It's been something that we're very proud of, and I wanted to kind of give you a little behind-the-scenes look at Panamax and kind of, a director's cut. This is kind of like the way that we thought about it, where we came up with it. And today, instead of me interviewing myself, I brought on one of my best friends in the entire world, Richard Katulski. Now, Richard not only works with me, but we actually have background together. So we went to college together. That's where we met. We were in the same dorm room, and we've had a lot of history. We've been dorm... Cut. And I'm really proud to work with him. He's the director of communications for the labs, so he's the guy behind the scenes that runs the Twitter account, runs the interactions on Google. So he does a lot for us, and he helps us with a lot of the messaging. You don't really get to see him, so today I wanted to put him in front of the camera and give you a chance to get to know him a little bit and let him talk to me about Panamax. So, Richard, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm sad we couldn't get James Cameron for this, but you'll do.
Yeah, I'd like James, if you're listening, open invitation.
Anytime you want.
So I'll hand it to you.
All right. Well, so some of the folks tuning in, may know a little about you, but some people may be new to the labs, may be new to Panamax, and may be new to you. Would you be able to talk a little bit about yourself and your journey over the last few years?
Sure. So I've been a programmer since about 1996. Mm-hmm. It's been decades of writing code, and it's mostly been in the open source world. And so I used to build websites, and then I built bigger websites, and one of the websites I built was Mog. It was a music streaming service, and that was bought by Beats Music, which was now just bought by Apple, and that was a really fun journey. But
so you basically worked for Apple then, right?
That's not how it works at all.
Hmm.
In fact, I left Mog to start a company called AppFog. And that company was a platform as a service that was built on Cloud Foundry technology. And we signed up over 100,000 developers to use it. And it was a fun time. It was 3 years of building a really cool platform technology. We raised $10 million in venture capital. And CenturyLink said, this is awesome, and we need to be in this space. And they acquired us a little over a year ago.
All right. Well, so you talked a little bit about launching Panamax. So what is Panamax?
Panamax is not a platform as a service. I made one with AppFlyer. I didn't want to make one again. So Panamax was a thing that I saw as a gap in the industry. I saw Docker being an incredible technology that I thought was changing the cloud landscape forever. And so I said, this is awesome. I don't want to build a platform as a service. I don't want to build an orchestration system. So what can I build? How can I be involved in this transition, this movement? And I looked around and I said, there's a thing missing. There's something missing in the industry around Docker that everybody could use. It could be supportive of all the ecosystem players within Docker. And it could help people adopt Docker. I was thinking, what could that be? And that turned into Panamax. And Panamax, it's really like, it's a cloud installer for Docker, but it's also like an application marketplace it's kind of like homebrew for Docker, where you can like install software complex stuff using Pandamax, and you can share it with your friends.
Okay. Well, you talk about Docker a lot. You really seem to love Docker. You wear Dockers to the office, you know, half the time. Why do you love Docker so much?
The thing that I think is just so cool about Docker is that it is transforming how people collaborate with DevOps. So, like, when I saw GitHub, you know, the first reaction to it was, wow, this is cool. But I didn't really understand till later in seeing GitHub progress that it was changing the way you wrote code. Because now you can collaborate with hundreds or thousands of developers around the world openly and learn from them and work with them in just in an easy way. When I saw Docker, my first reaction was exactly the same as when I saw Git. Wow, this is cool. And when I saw the idea of Docker Hub and being able to collaborate on DevOps the way that GitHub collaborated on developers, I thought, this is amazing. This is not just cool, this is going to transform things the way that Git has transformed source code management.
Okay. So how did you come up with the idea for Pandamax?
I came up with it by really thinking about what is it that could add the most value to developers and as well as to the larger Docker ecosystem. You know, when I started, when I first saw the Docker project and I started playing with it, one of the first things that I realized was that it's super easy to create a simple hello world, but going past the hello world stage and taking containers and stitching them together and creating applications that use lots of different containers is super hard. And it just takes lots of technology. I've written blog posts. Me trying to figure out how to use Docker for complex stuff is kind of a lot of what happened out of a long series of blog posts I did on the CenturyLink Labs website. It was just me struggling to do production stuff with Docker. And so I said, there's got to be something that can make a lot of that more standard, easier to approach. And that's where the idea of Pandamax came from.
Okay. So here's another question for you. Let's say I'm a developer or a DevOps person, and if that's me, then the zombie apocalypse is near, and you should check over your shoulder for zombies because things are not looking good if I'm your DevOps guy. But let's say I am your DevOps guy. Give me an example of a specific example of how I would use Docker and Pandamax to make my life easier.
So, one specific example is thinking about building a complex application like with a load balancer. So that's something every DevOps guy does in the universe. And when you're thinking about building a load balancer, you think, okay, what load balancer am I going to use? And how am I going to configure it the best, right? So first I'll tell you how Docker changes that equation. Because in the past, what you'd do is you would have to dig deep and figure out the insides of Nginx yourself. So that's really hard. And so you have to figure it out. You have to, you know, go inside its configuration and, you know, tweak with every knob, tweak with every setting. And that can take a long time. So I'll tell you how Docker changes things, and then I'll tell you how Pandamax changes things on top of Docker. The way Docker changes things is now there's the ability to not just take the Nginx source code and try to compile it and tune it and do everything right with it. You can actually take an Nginx container created and cultivated by experts in Nginx. And so instead of you having to learn the ins and outs of it, you can actually get it pre-fine-tuned with every setting and just exactly how you want it, curated by the DevOps community in the Docker Hub. So the Docker Hub is this kind of place where people around the world can put best practices, encapsulate the entire state of services like Nginx, like HAProxy, like any load balancer, like any database. Anything can be pre-configured, capturing its entire state, and then shared with you, and you can reproduce the exact correct settings without having to dig in deep. Now, eventually you're going to have to understand how these services run, but the idea is to start out in a place where you're using the knowledge of the DevOps community for your own good and to help you do better than you can do on your own. It's a way to open up the DevOps process to a more collaborative environment. Now, that's what Docker does. So the next question is, what does Panamax add for a DevOps person? So the second part of this example, like having an Nginx load balancer, is, okay, now I've got my tuned load balancer. How do I get it to talk to the application service? You know, whether they're PHP or Ruby or Go or Python, doesn't matter. How do I get them to talk? Because best practices say you should not put your Nginx load balancer on the same container as your application. Because the whole idea of having a load balancer, you want to spread the load. So you want to spin up a bunch of containers. Each one has a microservice, and each one, you want a load balance between them. That's the whole point of the load balancer. So the question is, how do you get the load balancer to become aware of the containers that have your application code in them? That's where something like Panamax can help. Now, you can do this on your own, and you can link stuff. And right now, Docker Link only works on one host. So if you want to do multiple servers to backend your system, links, Docker links using just straight up Docker will only take you to one host. In the future, with links version 2 that's being worked on right now, there might be more to this, but right now there's a lot that you have to do yourself if you want to go beyond a single server. So, and anybody who's building production stuff can't rely on a single server. You have to do multiple servers. So Panamax is built to let you stitch together containers easier. And when you're going to do this on your own, you can do it on your own, and I've done it on my own. I've documented the process on the blog. The problem is it takes a lot of work. You have to learn a lot of technologies. They're all new technologies. And it feels like you're doing stuff that should be cookie cutter. And whenever I feel like I'm doing that, that's where I see opportunity. That's where Panamax can come in and do the standard best practices of multi-server, multi-host, multi-container applications. We do that for you because we have CoreOS underneath the covers. We have Fleet to do scheduling and orchestration of your containers. And yes, you can do those all on your own, but learning all that is a very big learning curve for a developer. So what if you had a piece of software that did those best practices for you? That's what Panamax is.
Sounds awesome.
I think so too.
All right.
I built Panamax because I wanted it myself.
Good. All right. So what do you see as the future of Panamax? What's next for Panamax?
The future of Panamax is all about two things. One, creating an application template marketplace. And that is like the first thing that we need to happen within Panamax to make it most useful. Before I explain what that is, I'll tell you what the number two thing is. The number two thing is adding drivers for different orchestration systems like Kubernetes and GearD from Red Hat and all the other orchestration options out there, Mesos. Because we don't want people to have to choose and be locked into any one orchestration. We have no idea which one's going to be the best for any single purpose, so we want to make sure Panamax is useful no matter which one you choose. So drivers on the open source side are one thing that we want. The other thing, back to the first thing, is application templates. Now, application templates are kind of the secret sauce of Panamax. It's what makes Panamax so cool. The idea is Fig, which is an application format for multi-containers that was built by Orchard, which was just acquired by Docker, is a great format. It's a great format for specifying, here's what my multi-container application looks like. But you know, it's kind of for personal use only. Panamax takes the idea of Fig. In fact, it's very inspired by the Fig format. It's very similar to the Fig format. Takes it one step further. And it says, not only are you making it for yourself, but we're going to create a centralized repository of Fig-like application templates that anybody in the world can search, take action with, deploy, and share. So now with Panamax, you can build these complex applications. It will automatically generate a Panamax file, which is very similar to a Fig file for you, and it'll save it to a Git repository on GitHub, which you can then share with your friends. So what we want and what we've always wanted is to build out the best library of stuff to make it most useful for developers around the world to share with each other. So the kind of ideas are, what if Flynn was a template installation for Panamax? Panamax is very easy to install, and it's very standard, easy to install. And if Panamax is already there, can you just put Flynn on Panamax? And the answer is yes. Can you put Doku and Deus and any other Docker-based paths on Panamax? Yes. Because Panamax essentially just controls your Docker environment. It tells you which containers talk to which other ones, and all of these paths stuff are built on containers. So fundamentally, you know, it's kind of like homebrew for Docker. It's a way to specify the application template and then share it with anyone else to be able to reproduce that environment, which is a lot different than something like Platform as a Service. With Platform as a Service, like Cloud Foundry, you can't install Cloud Foundry on Cloud Foundry. Mm-hmm. You can't install OpenShift on OpenShift. You can't install Flynn on Flynn. Because the idea of Platform as a Service is to give you an environment that's already predetermined for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you just give the Platform as a Service your code, and it does all the rest. You don't pick the load balancer. You don't pick, you know, how things are done. Those are predetermined for you. We didn't want to build something that was predetermined. We wanted to give you control to build whatever you wanted on top. So you can install, you can use Panamax to install a PaaS, and then use the PaaS. Or you can just use it to install a complex system or build a complex system like Hadoop. You could do like a 100 container Hadoop system with Panamax and then press save as template and then share it. I could share it with you. And
mm-hmm.
even though you're not a DevOps person, you could reproduce
Sweet.
It.
I think I could use 100 Hadoops. That
yeah.
sounds awesome.
Yeah. Oh, I could use it.
Okay.
I could give you 1,000
Hadoops. Whoa, okay. Let's not get over crazy here. Where did the name Panamax come from? What inspired that?
Yeah, the name Panamax came from the Panama Canal.
Okay.
So the Panama Canal, the term Panamax actually means the largest shipping container size that can go through the Panama Canal. So it's a standard for shipping containers.
Mm-hmm.
So the play is that we're creating a standard for on top of Docker. Something that creates a standard way for people to share Dockerized applications that are multi-container and multi-host, multi-system to build complex applications.
Okay, awesome. I think, Panamax it's open source.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we work for CenturyLink, and I think a lot of developers out there were a little shocked to see that CenturyLink was doing something like this that's open source. Why make the open source play?
That's a great question. And when CenturyLink acquired AppFog a little over a year ago, they brought me in and they said, Lucas, AppFog's amazing. And what you're doing with developers and platform as a service is amazing. But at CenturyLink, we do a lot more than just platform as a service. We actually have a large suite of cloud technologies. We actually, we can do infrastructure as a service, we can do object storage, we can, basically most of the stuff you find on every other cloud, you can actually do it on CenturyLink's cloud already. But nobody had heard about it. And so they brought me in and they said, Lucas, I love what you're doing with AppFog, but we need help understanding how can you use the concepts of AppFog and help us make CenturyLink a really important brand to developers. And so I love challenges, and I challenged them. I said, well, if you really are serious about this, we need to be serious about how we approach the developer community. You know, I've been a developer for most of my life, and so I know what it's like to be a developer. And even though CenturyLink had products that actually worked for developers and were actually pretty good after I actually took a look at them, they weren't talking to developers. They didn't have any voice, they didn't have any engagement. And so I said, let me help create voice for CenturyLink with the developer community. And give me investment. I know how to talk to them because I am them. But I'm gonna have to do things that you might not at first realize, you know, they might not make total sense when you first hear them. Like, building a piece of software and giving it away for free. And that there's actually value, there's true business value in doing something in the open source world. And that's a very radical way for a lot of cloud companies to think. Some of them get it, some still don't. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I see open source where it's like, they obviously took something that they had built 10 years ago that nobody was buying anyhow.
Open source.
Mm-hmm. And they just like put it on GitHub and said they open sourced it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what they wanted me to do. It's not what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, let's do something that adds real value to people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Let's create a project that changes people's lives for the better and open source it in order to further its development. We wanted it to work just as well on any cloud environment. We wanted it to work just as well as Amazon as it did on CenturyLink Cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not real valuable code if it's if it's crippled.
Mm-hmm.
So we built something of real value that we hope, and it already seems like it's being picked up by the community. It's already being picked up, and people in the Docker ecosystem are very excited about it. We've got judges for the contest that we've started that range from all of the major Docker ecosystem players are judges in this contest. I'm overwhelmed with the support we've received so far, and this is just the beginning. So
mm-hmm.
It's been exciting to see people take this up, and the contest is kind of interesting too.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's funny, we've got this contest going, and it seems like, you know, we're giving away over $100,000 worth of stuff, and you'd think that would be the big story, but it's sort of being drowned out by, you know, all the talk about Panamax itself. So tell me about the contest.
Well, yeah. Well, so when I came up with the idea of the contest, the thing about it was that I wanted to create, you know, I had the chicken and the egg problem with Panamax. The problem was the application template libraries were the most valuable part of Panamax, but nobody was going to create them if nobody was using Panamax. So I had a chicken and the egg. I needed people to use Panamax in order for people to create templates. And then the only way they use Panamax is if there were templates. So when we finally believed that PandaMax was ready to open source, I went to my boss and I said, we have to fix this chicken and egg problem. And I said, there's only one thing that developers want more than anything else. And I know this because I want one more than anything else, and I really wish that I could participate in the contest. I said to my boss, can we buy $100,000 of Apple products and give them away? And to his credit, he said yes. And so we bought 30 Mac Pros and 30 iPad Airs. And the idea was to encourage people to use PandaMax and to create templates. So we give people incentive to create templates, which will then make PandaMax more attractive and give it a real chance at being a valuable piece of technology for the ecosystem. It's only valuable if people actually like to use it, and so we're excited about the contest. It's you only have 2 weeks from yesterday to create templates for the contest. Mm-hmm. So time's running out.
Yep.
And
you can get more info about the contest at panamax.io/contest. Pretty simple, or just go to the Panamax IO website, and
yep.
There's info there.
Yeah, well, actually, I shouldn't say 2 weeks from yesterday, because who knows when people are listening.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's 2 weeks
from... It could be right this second, so get on that.
Yeah.
Jump there now.
Yep. It's very true.
Go ahead. We'll wait.
And
you there yet?
So the idea is that the 2 weeks is to create your templates.
Mm-hmm.
Then there will be a week where we bring in the templates into the PandaMax project. So in order to create them, you create the template, then you do a pull request on the GitHub template repository that you've created into our central contest templates.
Okay.
Once you've done that pull request, the week after the submissions stop, we will take them in, make sure that they actually run, and
that's nice.
And package them into PandaMax so that anybody using PandaMax will be able to see your templates.
Mm-hmm.
Then there will be a 1 week period of promotion,
mm-hmm.
where people will be able to promote their templates and try to get all of their friends to use their template. And we'll be able to track the metrics. And the 15 most popular templates, the authors of those templates will win Mac Pros. Now, though, you can only win one Mac Pro in the contest. So if you write 15 of the most popular templates, you're only going to win one Mac Pro. But it's still awesome. And then there are 15 Mac Pros that are going to be given away to people who create the most ingenious ones, the creative ones, the they'll be more subjective. And the judging panel of seven judges will have criteria that's all listed on panamax.io/contest.
Okay.
One of the examples is the best blog post about your contest. So,
okay. Cool.
So it's really something we want to encourage people to look at. And it's not hard to win a Mac Pro, and if you don't win a Mac Pro, the runners-up will win Mac iPad Airs.
Cool.
So there's a lot of stuff to win, and we're excited about giving it away.
Okay, and to be eligible, I would have to quit my job and then enter the contest. Is that...
To be eligible, you have to be in the United States.
Okay.
Not a CenturyLink employee.
Okay.
And not in Florida.
Ah, okay.
And sorry, Florida.
Yeah, ouch.
We tried to register in Florida, and it was too much of a big overhead. It would have taken too much time, and we'll try to add Florida in future contests.
Yeah. All right. So what do you have in store for the labs next?
That's a great question. So we're hoping PandaMax really takes off, and in the meantime, we're building more stuff. So PandaMax is just the beginning. You know, CenturyLink is making a big play to do something really spectacular, and they're really pushing for innovating.
Mm-hmm.
And so the stuff we worked on is just the beginning. We're going to work on more projects. We're going to keep doing cool stuff. We're going to keep blogging. We're going to keep educating. One of the things that I'm very excited about and we're working on now and should be available pretty soon is online training, courses on how to use Docker. Because,
oh, great.
Yeah, it's one of the big problems of using Docker is still, you know, so early that there isn't a lot. One of the prizes for the contest is a new book on using Docker that the VP of services at Docker created.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually an excellent book. And so we're going to be giving away that book. But there's still so much to learn, and we believe that education is something very important to the Docker ecosystem. So we're going to be creating online courses to learn Docker, and those will be available soon.
Okay. Now let's say some of the listeners, watchers out there have a great idea for what they think you should be working on next. Can they email you and
yeah.
let you know?
Absolutely.
That
email me directly,
okay.
lucas.carlson@centurylink.com.
Okay, great.
And I'd love to hear your input. I'm one of you. I want to hear from you, and I need your help to make the best stuff out there.
Great. I know one of the projects that we're working on, and I'll probably have to be killed for talking about this, but it's robotic helper monkeys. I'm really excited about that. I really want one myself. My office is a mess, and I'm really hoping the helper monkey will be able to help me out. So that I understand that's one of your brainchilds as well.
Yeah, we're testing the name Panamonkey.
Panamonkey, I like that. Panamonkey, that's great.
So if you're listening, let me know if you like the idea of Panamonkey, and if you have any better names, let me know that too.
Yeah, somebody's got a better name out there. I can just tell you that right now. All right. Well, anything else you wanna add? I know you've got a pretty marvelous personality that I know you like to talk about. So anything you wanna add about yourself? No,
that's okay.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us. And again, go to Panamex.io, check out the contest. And we're also working on a thunderclap, which is a pretty cool thing that I just learned about, actually. It's basically a coordinated mass tweet or Facebook post. And we want to, you know, spread the word about Panamex as much as we can. So. You can check that out on the Panamex.io website. If you like it, we'd love for you to help us spread the word by joining the Thunderclap. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Richard.
Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the CenturyLink Labs podcast with Lucas Carlson. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, CenturyLinkLabs.com, to your friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out our archive section on our website for previous podcasts. This has been a CenturyLink production. Join us next time for another edition of the CenturyLink Labs podcast.